This is CliffCentral.com.
Shots fired.
You have to have more black people in the Asians. We tend to apologize for this or be a bit apologetic about how we say it. And it's 22 years down the line. So, fuck that.
G-Man, the ad man.
Fuck that.
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com.
If you're in a South African advertising agency, your third bottom line has undeniably got to be the development of black talent and the transformation of your agency. Maybe we're spending a little bit too much money on awards and not enough money on training and transformation.
G-Man. Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com.
Advertising people are some of the smartest, most creative, wisest people I know. Like, truly. Money is a recreatable asset. Time isn't.
Boom.
Time isn't. Isn't.
With G-Man, the ad man. Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com. Shots fired.
South African clients aren't brave enough.
Boom.
South African clients aren't brave enough.
With G-Man, the ad man.
Is this the Donovan Goliath who looks like Nina Hasty?
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on CliffCentral.com.
Hello, 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 hello. What's up? It's your boy G-Man the Ad Man, and we're back at it. It's been another amazing week of advertising. Well, it's been a week of advertising. I feel like sometimes, you know, we just kind of overstate the fact by saying it's been another amazing week of advertising. Maybe it's just been a week of advertising. But a lot of amazing shit has gone down, though. There has been a whole lot of stuff that's gone down in the ad game. Some good, some interesting, some peculiar shit. But at the same time, some shit has gone down. But welcome to it. Welcome to it. How's your week been? How have those briefs been on your desk? You know, how those things and squeeze bags coming? You know, you know I love those things and squeeze bags. So huge shout out to those things and squeeze bags out there. The briefs that are sitting on the table that we know are the beginning points of the bigger briefs. You know, so just hold on. Do those things and squeeze bags because the bigger briefs are coming. They are on the way. Just hold on. And if you did have a bigger brief and you are now holding a things and squeeze bags, you know what you did. You know what you did, so that you're sitting with things and squeeze bags right now. So, yeah, it's your boy, G-Man the Ad Man. If you follow me on social media, you'll know that I have some guests with me in the studio today. But they kind of switched things up on me a little bit, you know what I mean? They told me one thing, and then, you know, they think something slightly different. But it's okay. You know, we forgive it. I'm a forgiver. That's what I do as a people. But it's cool. We'll get them to explain themselves later. But they're in the stew, and I'm going to do like I do every week, where I'm going to introduce them. And then we're going to talk about some of the stuff that's gone down. But before, like, you know, yeah, South Africa sometimes. You guys, between 10th July and Babes and Ruzekiel Zoto Havant. You know, guys, Zoto Havant, and I have a very strange relationship with that whole ARTN thing that goes down there. Like, I feel like, you know, this show is about branding and advertising. And I think that is branding and advertising on another level, right? So the brand of this place, ARTN in Durban, didn't necessarily need an ad campaign. They didn't need for us to do things and squeeze bags for them. They didn't need us to have radio ads for them. They literally just showed us photos and images of what happens at ARTN. And if you've never been there, every time you go to Durban, your mind goes, I wonder whether we're going to have time to go to ARTN. And one of the things is this lady called Zoto Havant. Oh, guys, I mean, do yourself a favor. Go to YouTube. Look for some of the images. First of all, the images that people have posted of people going on, walking into ARTN and how amazing that looks. And then check out the videos of Zoto. Like, I'm talking about 2017, y'all. Anyway, before I get carried away, before the show started, that was Stogie T, MT. And another rapper that I can't remember right now, and that track was, and AKA, that was not AKA, AKA is not in that song, you know. Palisa is feeding me the wrong information. It's not AKA, it's MT, it's Stogie T, and if you know who else is on the track, guys, please hit me up. You know, I'm at Blacksem, it's at BLAXEM on Twitter, or at CliffCentral.com on Twitter. Hit me up. And let's have a conversation about, well, and give me the right information, because Buddy starts feeding me the wrong stuff. But huge shout out to the technical producer on this show. The technical producer on this show, Palisa, for feeding me the wrong information. But one of my guests is just giving me the information. It's Yanga. Yes, thank you. In fact, let me introduce the guys. Let me stop this cryptic shit that we're on right now. So, guys, Now, one of the guys that's here in the studio has been here before. He's a friend of the show. He has been. He's a friend of the show. He has been here before. But you know, that day he also didn't say much, you know. You know, because the nerves, guys, you guys think this place is easy. The place is not easy. It's not easy in the booth. So I think the nerves got the better of him that day. But he's here today and he promises to be saying a bit more. So in the studio with me today, they're going to be telling us about their new venture and what they're up to right now. But in the studio with me right now, is Mr. Mpotwala. What's up? What's going on, Po?
Hey guys, how you doing?
What's going on? Are you good?
Oh, I'm very good. Good to be back.
Yeah?
And good to be without Mr. Munareng Makweta. So I'll be doing a lot of the talking.
You shout out Munareng. What's going on? What's going on? Yeah, Munareng, yeah. You have left these guys here to come fend for themselves. So that's really cool. But sitting right next to him, there's a guy that a lot of you might have encountered in this Ed game as well, you know, or in other games as well. You know, Samuel is one of those people, guys. Like, you know, like you've seen him in many guises, many, many guises. But in this case, he comes through in his capacity as a producer at this amazing new place that they're going to tell us about. But yes, with me in this too as well is the great Mr. Samuel Matlang. What's cracking? What's going on? Hold on. I'm going to have to turn you on first. What's going on? What's going on?
Good. How are you? How's everyone?
I'm good, man. I'm good. It's good to have you guys in the studio, man. Are you guys cold? Hey, you know, guys, the aircon, askies. Yeah. But yeah, good to have you guys in the studio, man. What's going on? What have you guys been up to?
We're good. Yeah, we just set up.
I need you to come closer to the mic there, sir.
We just set up the Rude Boy Collective. So that's pretty much what we've been up to.
Yeah.
Making things work there.
Yeah.
Getting going, yeah. So film and content production house.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what's keeping us busy right now.
Okay, that's dope. What we're going to do is we're gonna delve into that. We're going to get deeper into that. So don't worry about it. Don't think that that's all you're getting away with, Samuel, today, because there's a lot of talking you're going to be doing. But what I do want to do, though, is I want to chat about, you know, some of the stuff that's been happening in the game in the past week or so, and some of the developments that have happened. You know, like I said, this show is about advertising and branding, but I think it's about the bigger picture of everything that we do, right? Now, one of the things that happened that really, really disturbed me in the past week or so was that whole story with Mr. Peter Bruce, right? Mr. Peter Bruce, the editor of, for shaking his head, he doesn't know who Peter Bruce is. So let me school you, Paul, right? So Peter Bruce is, he's the editor of the Business Day, I think, or the former editor of the Business Day, but he works with the Times, I think, right? So what happened is the guys from, Black Fest, have been picketing outside this guy's house, and have essentially been calling out the fact that they're saying that he is one of the people that are all about this white monopoly capital narrative and all that other. Bottom line, I don't care what the issues are, right? Bottom line, these people don't agree with what this cat is about. They went to his house, they picketed outside of his house, and I think that's bullshit. Because if people are going to start getting at people's freedoms from a creative perspective or from a narrative perspective, if they're starting with the journalists, they're going to come for us eventually. One day I think that we're going to make ads, or we're going to make productions, that people are going to come for us, and they're going to think that they can stand and picket outside our doors and say, hey, my man, I don't know if you should have made an ad where black people are not dancing. And I feel like that's bullshit. But I want to get what your feeling is about that. Is there a line when it comes to freedom of expression, which is essentially the business that we're all in, right? Is there a line when it comes to freedom of expression, or are these guys like rights to go and pick it outside this man's house?
No, definitely no one has rights to go pick it outside a man's house, especially his private home. I mean, this is what he does on a daily day-to-day basis.
Yeah.
He's a journalist. He's made a career out of it, and he's providing news. And unfortunately, news affects everyone, at different levels, and here we're dealing with a lot of people, a lot of money, a lot of state pillaging, a lot of lies, a lot of other funny things. So, hey, it's going to cause a bit of controversy, but the reality is that it's completely unfair and unwarranted for them to go out to outside his house and picket. I mean, they're exposing him to other things and other criminal elements besides themselves,
absolutely,
you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I've just Googled who Peter Bruce is.
Yeah.
Quite helpful Google. No, so the picketing thing doesn't make any sense in terms of that level when you come to reporting, right?
Yeah.
But I do think that people need to be called out when they make crap ads, and we need to go picket outside their houses and stop having black people dancing. Damn it. You know, I know it happens on social media, but we must escalate this thing. Call them out. It's about time now. We can't anymore. It's 2017.
Oh, guys, you heard it first. You heard it first. The G-Man, the Ad-Man. I mean, I can't believe we started this with a really, really important issue. And Paul went straight to it. He went straight to the jugular. You know, we must start picketing outside of...
And not Grotto Chive.
Yeah.
I see what's wrong, guys.
picketing outside of the picketing outside of the creative's house, the client's house, or the production house's house?
It's got to be
a collective picket.
A 360 turnkey solution, as they say. It must be the agency. It must be the production company. Obviously, we've got to pay bills. You know, I was having a chat with Anthony Pila, one of our directors.
Yeah, shout out Anthony Pila. One of the men who was supposed to be here, but yeah, shout out Anthony Pila. Yeah, what's up?
So anyway, we're just discussing, you know, the complexities of black tax and whatever else.
Yeah.
And I was saying there comes a time when you've got to go. Bullshit stops now,
yeah.
And I refuse to do this, and I won't go any further.
That's right.
Because if you're going to get paid to make crap, then you may as well go work at Summit, right?
Yeah, might as well.
So,
which sometimes advertising feels like. Sometimes it feels like we're at Summit.
90% of the time, it is Summit. You just come with the proper protection, and you're okay. But there's got to come a time when you go, no, enough is enough.
Yeah.
And you got to, you know, we got to call people out. And I see there's a couple of vocal activists on social media.
Yeah.
Shout out to Kamakhelo Sasing.
Shout out Kamakhelo Sasing. What's up, Tim? What's going on, boy?
Yeah, I think more calling out, the work gets better.
Yeah.
We've all made questionable work, but it's 2017, we're in 2018.
I agree completely. I agree thoroughly. And you know what? That actually leads me to a thing where, and you know, like, funny we should talk about this stuff, because I saw another ad now, right? Like, this past week or so, like in the last 2 days. And it's for a brand. I don't know if I can even mention it now, what the brand is, but. But I think that us having started to call out this whole thing about blacks dancing in ads, right, has freaked people out and has literally painted people into a corner now. Now people don't know what to do. You know what I mean? So this advert, it's for chips. I can say it's for chips, right? But in this advert, I want to know, like, have we got, like, clients, agencies, and production houses, right, stumped? Now that we've spotted this whole cop out, né, of the dancing, like, I literally watched the people in this ad, né, wanting to dance. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Because it's obviously like they did the treatment and everything, and then they said, okay, cool. And then like every time, like, they take a bite of the chips, and then like they dance, and then like, because the chips do that to you, right? And then they did everything in this production is about dancing, except there's no dancing. You know what I mean? And then you look at this production and you're like, they were supposed to dance here, they were supposed to dance there, right? And I think they get away with putting one guy. There's one guy who shakes his torso, and I saw, I can't get away with the whole advert without a dance. I mean, get out of here. But I'd like to hear from you guys. Do you think that we have placed now agencies, production houses, and clients, have we placed them in a difficult position now that we've called out this dancing thing? Have we?
Yes, we have.
Yeah. and rightfully so.
I will carry on from here.
So I think the last time I didn't speak is because Munaring feels that I'm quite militant. So
yeah.
Anyway.
No, get into it.
So
Munaring, thanks for not showing up today, because you can get some opinion out of this man.
I really doubt that agencies and clients are being painted into any corner.
Yeah.
I don't think they take us seriously. I follow comments on social media and I see people always trying to justify what is what. Maybe they had the dancing in the offline edit,
and
then someone came in and said there'll be none of that. So just as you saw, because what is it? He eats the chips, and then he gets this look, and then his primal nature takes over,
That's right.
He just wants to shake himself, to express how happy he is.
Yeah.
And then at that moment, as he dances, the client went, cut that out.
Yeah,
we won't have any dancing.
Yeah.
But his eyes dance.
So it's like this whole advert of pre-dance.
Yes.
Yeah.
So they are dancing in their hearts and in their minds, but we cannot have them gyrate. And the guy who shakes his torso is like, okay, we got it out, we're good.
Yeah.
So we've kind of fed the one animal and we've taken care of the dissidents that are complaining on. But
I can't believe we're still dealing with this thing, guys. But obviously we're making progress.
I think we're making progress because
you told people, and now I'm wondering whether, like you said, to your point, had they shot this thing before and then, you know, like they shot it pre-revolution or what? And then they went to the edit afterwards, you know what I mean? And they said, yeah, but guys, there have been developments. It's like, Alzheimer's has come on, and now we've got this fucking problem where these blacks keep telling us that we can't jive. I mean, jiving is fine. I see them jive at the fucking staff party all the fucking time.
And also, generally, I mean, dancing is a natural reflex.
For blacks,
even any style. It's one of those bamba.
Yeah,
you know.
But so, it's amazing. It's amazing because I mean, you can recognize that as a natural reflex of black people. but not talking. You know what I mean? Conversation is also an essential reflex of black people.
Why have black people talking?
Yeah, oh, because
or showing emotion.
Or showing emotion. That's also an essential reflex. Love but you. We don't go to that, you know, because chips must make you feel like that. Chips can't be a thing that you eat while you have a conversation. No, you must eat a chip and you must get back flavor, Papa. What do you want, can't? A lot of our minds. Maybe you know sometimes. Maybe we're those clever blacks that people keep talking about. You know how people say, you know, there's like black people of Joburg, like that nice lady who was caught on camera the one time saying the blacks of Joburg are not like the blacks of Durban. Mm. You know what I mean? Our problem is that we are the blacks of Joburg. You know, our problem.
The problem is that your chips are Mazimba.
Yeah.
And everyone else enjoys chips. Are my chips? They're not just Mazimba.
Maybe that's our biggest problem. We're being blacks of Joburg. We don't understand that everybody else does want to chive. But I doubt it. I highly, highly doubt it. So, look. I actually want to congratulate the people who worked on this Mazimba advert, because it feels like we're making strides. We're taking big strides towards a place where black people don't necessarily have to chive. And it's become that awkward in the edit room. I like that it's become that awkward in the edit suite. You guys are sitting there going, yo, Dave, is that the right thing? Because then, you know what's also amazing, what I've learned about some of the dancing adverts, is that there are obviously also black people who are involved in the making of the dancing adverts. And now I'm glad that guy has less pressure on him as well. Because people are obviously looking at him in the edit suite and say, but, Tabo, yeah.
What's the new dance?
Yeah, what's the dance? You know what I mean? Now he's under less pressure, and now he doesn't have to feel, he doesn't feel like he has to, you know, make everyone feel good in the edit suite because of this jiving. So guys, the battle is being fought on a lot of fronts. Thank you. And keep fighting the fight out there, guys. We will win. Not yet Uhuru, as the song says. Anyway. Yeah, that's one thing. Let's move on from that thing, because it's a bit crazy. So here's the thing, right? Those guys. I mean, let's go back to that politics thing a little bit more. Bell Potinga, right? So I get this about advertising and branding, and PR is a part of advertising and branding, right? So Bell Potinga are these guys who essentially were sent in a boardroom and orchestrated a kind of the divide of a country. Right, so they kind of said, okay, guys, we're going to introduce these words, white monopoly capital, we're going to do, right? And they essentially started to feed, from a PR perspective, how a whole country works, right? So they kind of say, we're going to direct the narrative of an entire country from a PR perspective. Now, here's what my question for you guys. Do you guys think that in SA, we're not using PR companies, do you think we're using PR companies to their full potential? Because maybe we just get them to send us press releases. You know what I mean? We get PR companies to tell us about the launch of the new yogurt, right? But PR companies out there are running countries, right? Is it that? Or do we think that PR companies are running more than we know? Do we think that PR companies are already running things like our country and big things, but we never actually thought about that before?
I don't think they are running our country or, you know, informing us in any other way to change societal behaviors.
But we can't say that. Until someone found out that Bell Potinga was up to this shit.
Yeah, Bell Potinga, they met the brief.
Yeah.
Those guys,
but that's what I'm
they
saying.
Met the brief. And how they met the brief, they went beyond the brief. They reached the objective. You just remember that they serve as a client. So let's look at it from another perspective, where they have a client who says, this is what we need to do, or we're trying to communicate certain things. Obviously, the client seems to have been defending themselves for whatever reason. Yes. But when you look at it from a brief perspective and a PR perspective, a company perspective, Bell Potinga has met the brief thousand times four.
They won a goal that can, right? They got the Grand Prix.
The Grand Prix.
It's like
that thing.
And the Grand Prix goes to Bell Potinga.
That's it.
And the client obviously walks on stage with them and they put their hands
up. And you know what's the best thing about all of this? Is that Bell Potinga represents the defendant, if you call it that way. The other guys, right? The Saxonville guys.
Yeah.
And it also represents the concept that they seem to have created, which is white monopoly capitalist based in Stellenbosch.
Yeah.
They were clients to those guys too.
Exactly.
So now you imagine you've got
amazing.
two powerhouses fighting for something. And you know, the country is in between. So now we are the balloon.
You know wait man. You know which part I'm interested in? Can you imagine what the entry video, you know, for Bell Potinga, like they're entering to Cannes next year? Because if I was them, I'd enter it. You know, if I was Bell Potinga, then in entering these things for the Project South Africa, and how we fuck them off, right? You know, as all the videos go that you've seen, you know, our brief or the problem. This country was running a bit too well. My friends were making too much money. You know what I mean? And what we did for the client is this and this and this and this. And as an entry, yeah, because of what it's caused and all that, I think the only place the entry would fall down is if they got caught. You know what I mean? Then it's like, PR company, you actually fucked out. These guys got caught. But if they pull this thing through, I mean, there's a can entry waiting to happen.
I think they already have one.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't deny that. They already have one. You can just go for it. Do the case study. It's effective. I mean, if you look at, you know, you say the term white monopoly capital was created by them.
Okay, yeah.
Fantastic. I think it already exists. It's just that someone...
Yeah, someone called it out. Yeah.
But, you know, when you think about it, it's like, well...
That's insane.
They're done. They've won.
Yeah.
Their news for the past 6 months or so has literally every day had to do with white monopoly capital, sex and wealth.
Yeah. So brief met.
But also the idea is, as an agency, right, if you deliver and you win awards, you get more work. So the last 6 months have been bell potting, right?
Yeah.
So how many more briefs have they got?
This is right. So this is absolutely right.
For them, they're just winning.
Yeah.
They over-deliver.
I mean, I'm sure they can do some briefs from the jail cell as well. If you can put a MacBook, you know, during that guy's 1 hour break,
MacBook Air
in the 1 hour out of 24 that he's let outside, then he can answer some briefs. Because you're absolutely right. If we're honest with ourselves, they got a brief and they met it, right? But I want to go back to the question that how much do we think PR companies are doing? Because I'm convinced after all this happened, I'm like, no, guys, I'm convinced there are other things that we have thought have just happened to us, happened upon us. I mean, maybe that water situation in Cape Town is a PR issue. But I mean, Cape Town, we are with you.
I'm with you, Cape Town.
I'm not making a joke. I'm with you, Cape Town. But I'm also not ruling out the fact that it could just be PR. That you know. I mean, I've been complaining about Cape Town for a while. And maybe this water thing is how we take sympathy. But I'm just saying that's true.
Someone just put a stopper.
Yeah.
At the tank there.
They're calling us not Africa, right?
Yeah.
Because you think about it. That's a proper PR response to it, right? People are saying that Cape Town doesn't feel like South Africa, right? And maybe what we should do is we should show people how we are also capable of suffering, right?
Of not having.
And the humility that comes with not having, right? So let's put a stopper. Bah! Now, tell people that, I mean, how has this never happened before? Tell people there's no water. Right, and we're going to have restrictions, right? People are going to come, feel like this place is just like Limpopo, and then we bring the water back, bah! And then the PR is back, we fix the fact that Helen Zille told these people that colonization was not a problem. How could that not be a PR solve?
So where are they getting the water now, Grant?
They've got 2 minutes of water a day.
Yeah, they've got 2 minutes of water every day. Yeah, and some people only water their lawn Monday, Wednesday,
and Friday.
So others only get Tuesday, Wednesday.
This is the city's plan.
Yeah, because Helen Zille said that,
so
that colonialism
here
was
because
right.
The DA makes it work.
We've got Mashaba here. Is he going to do the same part?
No, we've got lots of
money. No, guys.
Okay, let's move on from this thing. Guys, please.
Cape Town is a bit of a touchy subject.
Yeah, let's leave Cape Town alone. Cape Town, we love you. You know I love you, Cape Town. But I'm also, I mean, since bell potting, I trust nothing. I trust no news since I've heard about bell potting. Everything can be constructed to be a thing. So I'm with you. Anyway, let's move on. Hey, you guys.
is our industry not also PR'd in a manner where it seems like it's working the way it's supposed to? Mm-hmm. And there's this awesome thing. You know, I asked Abel a question earlier on about transformation.
Yeah.
And I was just like, so let's talk about this transformation thing.
Yeah.
And then obviously let's talk about the PR we in advertising, right? Let's talk about the PR that they put towards this
transformation.
And then they talk about these 16% here, and then you get another percentage here, and then you get whatever. So isn't PR working on a daily basis?
But that's it.
Aren't we transformed?
Guys, now I'm telling you, I feel like PR, during the day, it's Bruce Wayne. It sits here with us, you know, and the people are like, no, it's cool. And then at night, they go out there being Batman, changing the world. They change the world at night when we're sleeping, and then they come out and they hang out with us amongst mere mortals, like Bruce Wayne, and they're like, guys, you know what? This is changing, though, because he knows, because he's changing it at night. You know what I mean? So I'm actually looking to get some PR people into the studio sometime soon. I've got one or two contacts that I think I should get into the studio, because I'm really, really interested in this whole thing, in how PR is running more things than we think. Because it's shit like reputation management, right? When somebody has just fucked up, they say, what should we do for you in order for your reputation to be repaired? all PR.
And they lobby also.
Yeah, exactly.
So they can manipulate situations.
Yeah,
so they
kissing
can
babies.
Benefit.
It's exactly that,
yeah.
Right? It's exactly that.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're on to PR, but we will get some of your guys here in the studio sometime soon to chat about it. It's your boy, G-Man the Adman. I'm still hanging out with some of the guys from the Rude Boy Collective. Hit me up at Blaxem. It's at BLAXEM or at CliffCentral.com with your comments about anything that the guys have said. It's all, you know, Munari not being here, guys. It's fantastic. There's no filter. So give us a call. Hit us up on WhatsApp as well on 079-748-2090. That's 079-748-2090. And give me your opinion about this stuff. But we're gonna get into a whole bunch of things. So here's another thing now, guys, that's happened, right? And I didn't speak about it last week because, you know, it was still kind of developing. So let me paint this picture for you. So Alan Gray, right? Mm. They used to be with King James in Cape Town, right? So they go to King James in Cape Town. It's nice. It's fun. They make all those black and white adverts that win everything every year. It's nice, right? So after that, Sanlam or Santam, one of the two, I can't remember which one it is, appoints King James as the agency. So, sorry. So first of all, these guys go and pitch while they had this piece of business or something like that. So King James then relinquished the account. It goes to Ogilvy, and Ogilvy takes the piece of business, and then fine, it's okay. They have it for a couple of years and whatever. And then how? They announced well, last week or 2 weeks back that they are now at King James Joburg. Hmm. So they were at King James Cape Town, took what the streets call the scenic route by going to Ogilvy for a little bit, right? Pretended there, had a rebound relationship of pretending. And then went to King. So now they literally are in the same building, right? Well, they could have literally just done that. I mean, am I overreacting? Am I saying that there's a like a hiding in plain sight game that we're all watching? Or is this fine? Do we think that this is okay?
Look, I think you're overreacting.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, fine. That's cool. Fair enough.
It's been happening since you started in advertising. Yeah. It's been happening since, I don't know, 20, 30 years ago.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. It's like nothing really has changed in how
things are done.
Yeah, clients and accounts move around. And,
yeah.
And you can see that.
Boom. I mean,
after the longest time, you had an account, a client who had an account for 19 years.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like when you look at that from 1994, 19 years.
Yeah.
One account, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when you start thinking about it, that account could have done the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, it goes there, you pretend that it's going there. I mean, I don't know, a couple of years ago, there's a bit of a juggle around the telecom
yeah,
account.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, oh, Ndwana, take care. Ndwana,
take care. Where is when you need him?
Okay.
Shots fired.
Back to my numbers.
Oh, guys. Oh, I love it completely.
But I'll play devil's advocate. Maybe sometimes you think the grass is greener on the other side.
That's right.
You go, you check, and then you're like, no.
Yeah, these guys, maybe, yeah, maybe these guys are fine.
And then you come back. But also,
okay,
at the
cool,
same
I'll
time,
take that. I'll take that as well.
But at the same time, to further push the initiative of, I always come back to it, maybe you're not transformed enough.
Yeah.
So you need a 2-year break, and your client goes, okay, cool, fine.
In those 2 years, please change your things.
My board members are complaining. Where are the blacks? Okay, cool. Give us 2 years. We'll find the blacks. You get them. Once you have them, then you bring the business back. At the end of the day, it's some more PR, right?
Yeah.
At the end of the day, some wool thrown over your eyes.
The proverbial wool. Eh?
Yeah, of course. And the scenic route is always nice, you know. We all take the scenic route sometimes. Come on, guys. It's not like they're the first people to do it. It's just that, you know. Maybe they have bell potting on their books
maybe,
as well.
Maybe.
So
anyway, well, good luck, guys. Good luck and congratulations. I guess are due. But yeah, hey, these are trying times. These are trying times. The news go really, really well, and the time seems to fly when you've got Monaring and Sabelo in the studio. I mean, sorry, when you've got Points and Sabelo in the studio, because you know.
Thank you.
Yeah. Anyway, so another thing that's also happened. So, I saw this thing and it says, Debonairs enjoys top spot in the consumer satisfaction index. Right? So, too long. So consumer satisfaction index, right? It means how much people love you, right? So how much people are satisfied with your product when they walk away, right? So when they come to your shop, they take the product and they go home, or when they sit in your shop, how satisfied they are. But I mean, we also don't know which other spots they went and looked into when talking about consumer satisfaction. I mean, you spoke about Summit earlier, but let's not get into that. So Debonairs is number one in this list with 85 points. Second to that was Nando's, 83.8. Third was Apple, which is very interesting. I know, Apple computers, right?
Oh,
Yeah. Okay. And then McDonald's and then Capitec. So it's actually not necessarily just about satisfaction of food. Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't know what the criteria was because they should have.
I think Apple just pulled an Ellen Gray there.
They should have got it. So it's amazing that, you know, like a pizza place, you know, essentially when it comes to consumer satisfaction, kind of it beats out like Nando's and Apple, McDonald's, and even a bank. You know, and Capitec's been voted like the one of the best banks in the world or something like that. And it's very interesting that Debonairs. So I mean, huge shout out to the guys at Debonairs. You know, I mean, I think that, you know, these are some of those places that don't get enough credit. You know, ask Never Plex, you want to go to Andichos and to the other places, and because you feel like that's a better pizza, but the whole country feels a different way.
Food doesn't discriminate.
Exactly, but. But it's amazing that list comprises of food places, and in the first two places, and then like a computer place. You know what I mean? And shouldn't that be like a place where, like, you know, customer satisfaction? Like, what happened to places like Book Pick and Pay? Like those places that people always like people that no, hold on, that we interact with like more frequently, yeah. Right? How is it that we feel that the satisfaction thing is not coming through in like the more day-to-day stuff that more people are engaging with? Like, people complain about Nando's prices all the time. People know that Apple is expensive. You know, like, we're not talking about things that are in people's hands. And do you think that those things are relatable? Like, the more I'm paying for a product, the more satisfied I'll be. You know what I mean? Do you think those things are related?
I think Debonairs proves the point that no, because Debonairs
it's not premium.
But you know, something that Sabelo always says whenever we're pitching on a job is don't think about what's going to win your can, think about what the market wants.
That's right.
And I think there are millions of people who want Butterfoss on the crust of their pizza.
I mean,
who've always wanted it or have wanted a quadruple decker pizza that we've never thought of. Cheese filled, whatever. So, you know, they listen to the demand and then they make it happen. So, you know, on that level, one, it's listening to your consumer. Two, is obviously having a decent price so the consumer can get it. And then I think Apple is probably just like a thing of want. Rather than actually fulfilling and customer satisfaction.
Yeah, so you were satisfied with that thing before you had it anyway.
You don't even have it. You don't even know what it looks like. But you hear people talking about it, so it satisfies you.
Yeah.
Because if you look, there's like 20% of the population that probably has Apple products.
Yeah,
right?
That's right.
So, and then Nando's is expensive, but again, for the clever blacks, it's the healthier option.
That's right.
To take out. So,
yeah, exactly.
You don't mind spending 150 rand on a quarter chicken and chips.
Hey, little patella,
with
that?
No cool drink.
Yeah.
Grant, did you ever work on Debonairs?
No. It arrived.
It's just the same office, but
no. It arrived as I was leaving. I want to know why you're asking me that.
Yeah, me too.
I felt like that both of us crusted vibes could have been created by you.
Look. Let me tell you about
you guys.
Let me tell you about my capabilities, Sabelo. I mean, I make different types of adverts. I make a plethora of adverts. The only variety I try to shy away from is the dancing variety. Okay. But I mean, every other kind, I'm in there, my man. If you want me to make people do slam poetry, I'm there. If you want me to fill a crust with provors, I'm there. You know what I mean? You want me to make Napster jump over some toys on the street? I'm there. Shout out to Napster. What's going on, brother?
Well, I did Napster.
Oh, man. Okay, guys, that sums up all the news we had today. Wait. No. That doesn't sum up all the news we had today. There is one more thing that happened just yesterday. So Telkom announced the move, right, from DDB. Check us out, right? From DDB, turn this music off. Yes, from DDB to Wonderman, Demographica, and Retail Insight. Right? That's what's up. That's what's going on out there right now. So huge shout out to everybody that's working, everybody at Telkom. Huge shout out to everybody at Wonderman for the account win. But yeah, I mean, there was a pitch process that happened, and the guys have won. I mean, how do you guys feel about it? Just off the top.
Well done to the winners.
Yeah.
Well done to the winners.
So you said their full name again? I know Wonderman.
Wonderman and then Demographica will be handling their digital stuff, I think. Uh-huh. And then Retail Insight is going to be doing obviously the retail side of the thing.
Yeah.
And I mean the pitch itself was a little controversial at first.
Very controversial.
Because of how many people they'd asked to come into the pitch. But I mean, I don't want to get into all that stuff.
If I could ask.
Yeah.
Why is it controversial if you want 20 people to pitch in your job? Outsider.
Well, you tell me. You tell me as a production person. Do you think it's controversial if I bring 20 directors to pitch on one TV ad?
So the thing is, a director can say yes or no. Right?
What do you mean?
If you don't want to pitch, then you can say.
I can say, but
I'd like not to. No.
Agencies can do the same thing.
No, they can. So, like, if you want
seven people to.
You haven't answered my question.
Oh, sorry. Paul. How do I feel?
Yeah. How do you feel about if I said I'm going to brief you and 10 other production houses on one TV spot?
I'd probably, before I express myself, my producer would go, fuck that, we're not doing it. Yeah. And then it'd be like, okay, cool, fine. Yeah. I hear it. Yeah. But sometimes Telkom's such a big client that if you want seven different opinions rather than the three stayed every day clients, then you throw it out. Because now, look, Winderman and them are winning. And maybe they would never have got a chance to pitch if there's only three top agencies pitching. I don't know.
Yeah.
So I like to ask questions just to find out. Obviously, it is bullshit because
it is quite double-edged money. Though. It is quite double-edged, I think. Though,
okay.
Because a lot of the smaller shops or a lot of the shops that are not very established find it hard to make it on those pitch lists. And if the rule is that you only can have three people on a pitch list, then, you know, everyone just goes, okay, well, give me the established guys. Then it's always the established guys who get to the front of that queue. So for that reason, I understand what you mean. But at the same time, you know, it just kind of feels like you are essentially building your strat. You're building your internal intention through this like... this gun, what shotgun approach? You know what I mean? Now you're going to go, I'm going to bring nine people in to make me figure out exactly what it is I want to say.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So you probably didn't even have a plan up front. Now you're going, but if I take a piece from this and I take, you know what I mean? And with nine people, it just feels unfair to the process, I think.
I hear you.
Yeah. Look, I mean, you find that there could be a disconnect from the strategy side of the telecom itself around what their plan is. So let's bring everyone, put them in a basket and let's see what we come up and mix and match.
Yeah.
But also that could be troublesome after because then what informs your strategy could have come from nine different sources.
That's
now
what's
you
up.
Signed up these two sources and you're pushing them to be able to give you that. But also in turn, the other challenge is that, you know, I'm not sure if this is the case, but from what I noticed, like agencies sign up a client. You start off with, you know, the first campaign, maybe it's a pickup from the initial, the previous agency, blah, 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 and it looks great and it starts to talk and then strategy changes.
Yeah.
And sometimes you find that at that point, what you signed up for, no longer exists as a client, but you're in a contract. So it is a double-edged sword because we've seen brands where you're like, wow, you were doing so well there, and now you've come out here, and what is this?
Absolutely.
What the hell is this? So I think there is a bit of a balance that needs to be made. There.
Sure.
Yeah. But I mean, from our production perspective, I mean, if we have to pitch in competition with nine others, there's an investment that goes in there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, it's not only just to say, okay, well, here's an idea. I mean, that intellectual property that gets developed one.
Yeah.
But the time that we spend on it and everything else around a treatment and a pitch and a production plan on all those things was the pitch. It has a cost to it, you know. So
absolutely,
you'd rather feel like if you're pitching against three, you have a better chance of the value of investment.
Absolutely,
because at least you know, okay, sharp. And I could possibly get this job.
Yeah.
You know, even then with others. But if it's nine all the time, then, you know. The ones that are having coffee with the guys are the ones that.
Yeah. 2 million rand budget.
Right.
Cool, fine, I get it, nine people. But if you're pitching on like a 300 million rand contract.
Yeah. I hear you. I hear you as well.
Cool, they may take my idea, they may not. No idea is original.
Yeah.
Also, you know, if I pitch against six other directors, it's more out of fear of the fact that there's a bigger divide of me getting the job than not getting the job. And you just got to make a decision, fuck it, I'm going to go for it or not.
Yeah.
Because we've gotten so comfortable and cocooned in this little industry.
Do you think that's what it is? Like we've gotten entitled as well.
Yeah, we've gotten entitled, there must only be three. The rule is there can only be three.
Yeah, like, I hear you.
The only thing I hear is the pitch fee, I get that because it costs money to bring people in and to put together a pitch. But we have to get and evolve to a new way of working. I'm a client and I'm paying you 10 million rand to shoot an ad and I want 10 fucking directors, I'm going to get 10 directors.
You can say no,
but you've just stepped out of getting a 10 million rand account.
You know what? That strangely makes a lot of sense.
Sadly, where we are going and with the way the market is going, we have to get accustomed to either smaller budgets or being prepared to do what the client wants. Obviously, I'm very anti-production house and agency at the moment, but it's not to say that we mustn't evolve and try to change.
Because the opposite of that is for someone to just hand something over, right?
We want the budgets, guys.
Yeah.
Big budgets.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Please.
Good point. Big budgets. Please.
But I think we all know that budgets are shrinking from pretty much every side.
Everywhere.
So that's going to be a tough conversation from any direction. But I think that, you know, the opposite of that is also true. Like, because then we also complain if the client just said, no, you know what, guys, I know who I want to go with. I want this one guy. No, why was there no pitch? You know what I mean? So like, that whole thing is just a mess. It's just like a mess of extremes.
And there are rules that have been made. before we got here.
Yeah.
We work in these roles, but no one ever questions these
rules.
And who's winning from these rules? From who's profiting from these things always working the way they want? And then you come in, and then it's like, no, they're the new guys. They don't have the experience. They don't have the resource. They don't have. And Telkom just like, fuck that. Yeah. I want
these guys.
10 people to come in, and they will pitch, and I will look, and I'll go, shit, you know what? Grant's pitch wasn't that amazing, but I like Grant and I like his vision.
Yeah.
I want to work with Grant and I'll work with him and I'll work with
him. Yeah, guys. Absolutely. And because you're absolutely right. We keep talking about how everything around us is changing, how we should be as malleable as everything that's happening around us. Yet we complain about every single form of this change. Every time the game morphs into something, we're like, take us back.
Yeah, take us back.
I want apartheid.
I don't want digital. Yeah. I don't want film. Yeah. I don't want this. Exactly. Who are these young directors?
Yeah. South Africa was better pre-94.
Exactly. You know? Come on, guys.
It's the same thing.
It's exactly the same thing.
Yeah, you know, sometimes I think South Africa was better before pre-. It's exactly that. Anyway, guys, this was a good time. Anyway, guys, but I want to get into this shit now. I want you guys to tell me, guys, let's get into why you guys are here, right? So when Paul was here all the time ago with Monaring, and it feels like it was P94 as well. And they were here, and they told us about their intentions and their vision and all that. At that time, they were them VA boys, right? They were Velocity Africa. And I think, I mean, if you anybody who has not been living under a rock knows that, you know, there's no such thing as Velocity anymore, right? Cool. So we've all moved on from there. But then the guys have formed this thing called the Root Boy Collective. I mean, first of all, I don't think the name is controversial at all. I just think it kind of tells you how they plan on doing things. But I think I want to let them explain it to me, right? So Sabelo, let's start with you.
Sure.
Tell me about the Root Boy Collective. What is? Let's start with what it is and how you arrived at this name.
Look, we are essentially a film and branded content company.
Okay.
So we produce your branded commercials, TV commercials, top end TV commercials.
That's right.
Yeah. So we want to work with the best of creatives to be able to produce top end creatives from South Africa across the continent.
Yeah.
So our plan is to be an African brand that is able to produce great content for the African continent and all our clients there. So that's our main thing, you know, and we want to be able to bring a certain level of creativity, innovation and disruptiveness in the industry itself.
Right.
You know, by being able to look at, you know, you talk of lower budgets and those kind of things. You know, sometimes the budget is lower because it's the last TV ad was much higher. However, it's not a low budget itself, you know. So you got to innovate around how you make things work and how you do things. So we want to look at things differently and be able to innovate with every job in creating a seamless process of producing a TV commercial without always having the same set of tools all of the time.
Sure.
You know, because sometimes in commercials the tools are big, they're massive, they cost more.
Yeah.
So we want to be able to look at doing things differently, but also being able to deliver on high-end communicative commercial work. I think communicative is a key point for me, you know, because we want to really do something that has impact on the market and be able to talk and give clients and agencies an opportunity to say, with these guys, we're able to film really good stories that tell our brand stories that are able to encapsulate the entire market.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
So from an uncultured perspective,
Root
Boy is a, is a five-man team.
Yeah.
I think still, you know, we came in the last time as VA and we were like, black.
Yeah.
And we're still the only 100% black owned production company.
Oh, yeah.
That shoots commercials probably 100% in SA.
Yeah.
Boom. I think. And if I'm firing shots, please call me out on WhatsApp or Facebook. So I think, one, that's that, right?
At that
level. So with where we come from, so it's myself, it's Sabelo Masango, it's Munering Magwetla, it's Kat Lindsay, and it's Robert Melpage. So the five of us kind of left where we used to be.
Yeah.
We came together to run productions differently. We enjoy making high-end commercials. We enjoy making low-budget commercials.
Yeah.
We enjoy being on set and getting our hands dirty.
That's
right. We enjoy breaking the rules because we know what the rules are.
Yeah.
We enjoy just messing around and producing quality content. And sometimes, you know, we sit here and we talk about, we want to do this, and it's so whatever else. End of the day is,
if you have a problem in terms of finding a creative solution for your visual output or your stills, whatever, we want to be the guys that you call on to provide you the solution.
Right.
So don't sit and tell us what it is that you want. Say, guys, the problem is this.
Yeah.
In my stills, I'm struggling with this. My content,
that's right. Struggling with that's this. Right. So let's find a solution. Space,
I only have 20 Rand.
Yeah.
Then we will find a way to make that 20 Rand work.
Boom.
To make sure that your stills, your content, and your TVC is taken care of. What that allows you is a peace of mind to talk with one producer, one creative head in terms of, you know, Rob and Anthony are photographers. We also have Michael Matthews in Cape Town,
who's
just finishing a short film at the moment.
Yeah.
So we have four creative minds that work on every single project.
Excellent.
So we will sort out your problem. We'll come back to you and we'll go, cool. This is the way we feel you can treat it. The day that we're shooting a commercial, I may be directing. Rob may be managing the 50-day stills. Anthony may be managing your street essence and understanding the youth. And then Michael may manage something else. So we want to be able to give you that. Rather than you talk to seven different production companies about this and about that. And then we also just don't want you to phone us and go, please send us your BEE certificate so we know we can work with you.
conversation.
We are as BEE certificate.
That's dope.
Just to stop at what Mpo's saying, you know, we've come up with this term visual content management, you know, where we want to funnel all of this. So your commercial, your branded content, and your stills campaign, because we find that in general, you see a commercial, you see the content online, and then you see the outdoor billboards in print.
Yeah.
And there's a slight disconnect, if not a complete disconnect.
Right.
And you feel like, well, the campaign got me there, but it loses me there. Because everything is an afterthought of something. So we started on digital, then we went, we can get a bit more money. Let's go on TV. But now all
of
us breed new ideas. You know?
Yeah.
So we want to be able to say, let them breed one idea. We can bring it together. We can do the stills. We can do the visuals for the TV commercial and the branded content itself, and be able to give you a campaign that ties up visually.
That's dope.
Then the rest and how you communicate it obviously is up to the agency and all that.
Absolutely.
But we want to be able to support you in that way. And I mean, stills, video, film.
Yeah.
This is what we love doing.
I like that because it goes back to this thing about us, you know, kind of knowing how malleable we all need to be and how we all need to morph with whatever the time is becoming. So that's great. I mean, you talk about the fact that, you know, you mentioned Kat Lindsay, Rob Mailpage. Now, so what happens is, tell me about what. So tell me about what happens when you're choosing people to kind of work with, right? So, like, you come out, like I said, I spoke about the velocity thing and how there's a whole bunch of people who obviously, like, started going, splintering into a whole bunch of... How easy or difficult was it to choose to work with these people?
It's probably the easiest decision we've had to make. I think we had a lot of other discussions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I know you guys, you know, like,
yeah,
MVA boys, we're going to,
we're going to pen, You know, for us, it was like, I think it was a long time coming that we had to go on our own and do this thing.
Yeah.
And then we've been speaking to a lot of people, and one thing I am averse to is if I insult anyone, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But we speak and we say things, but your intentions when I look at you aren't what you're saying.
Right.
So with Kat and Rob, it was a sit down, it was a conversation. Their intentions are as clear as can be.
Yeah.
Yes, they want to make money. Yes, they want to shoot great content.
Yeah.
But above all else, they are so focused on development and building
that is
inside out. And for me, as I said the last time we're here, it's all about developing and building talent and getting
more people on board
who haven't been able to before. If you think about it, Rob was with the guys on Yeezo, and
through that,
he's kind of just kept on developing and bringing more people on board, and he's got this knack of finding guys who aren't in the industry.
Yeah.
He brings them in, and within like a year, the guy's an editor, the guy's a researcher, the guy can shoot by
himself.
So they had the clearest and purest intentions, and I think if you go purely from where we're trying to go and what we're trying to do, they were the best people for us to partner with.
Yeah.
And I think we have a bright future ahead. Obviously.
Yeah.
It was less money and more about what we want to build.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. That sounds good.
Because
another side of
the Rootboy Collective, you know, it takes on.
Yeah. You know, the club, guys. I've got the equipment here for the clubs, guys.
You know, it takes on everyone's creative vision.
Yeah.
And wants to put it together. The amazing thing about the collective, all of us, is that, and maybe let me separate myself. The guys are pure filmmakers. I mean, if you look at all of them, their careers are in the film industry, in film and thoughts, you know. So it's quite interesting, Rob, with series, you know, mirroring with some of the films that he's done and live eventing. Tyler's gone overseas and worked for a couple of years there, producing commercials and also the other content. I mean, things like Pierre Menati you worked on.
That's right.
So you look at the diversity that one is following and going, whoa, you know, this is great. So the, from a vision perspective, we had a we shared the same vision.
Excellent.
And that's the strategy came through for the Rude Boy Collective.
Yeah.
And we were kind of formed, you know, we didn't realize it, but I think we all spent a good 2-3 years in one office, in one floor, as the only two
functioning
productions
in the Joburg office in Cape Town.
So
you can imagine now having to like slowly just feel yourself with no pressure, with no looking forward to this, no thinking that we are partners in any way.
And
it really just gels in, you know. And then you pull it in and you say, guys, let's do this. And it starts to make sense. Well, they pulled in and said, let's do this. And then, you know, they wanted a runner, so they called me.
He does things like that. I know him. He does that. They wanted a runner. So talk to me, guys, about, and then, you know, Anthony Pillar. Lemunga guy. Where do you guys bump into Anthony Pillar and convince him to come in and root boy with you guys?
Well, Anthony, we're cool. Instagram, banka di nepe. Who not, guys?
That's what I want to know. Lemunga guy.
Yeah, look, I mean, you kind of look around and you see.
Shout out Anthony Pillar. What's going on, brother?
Word.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's constant search for talent.
Yeah.
Constant search for creativity. And you know, he, when you look at some of the things he's doing on his own out there, you know, it's quite interesting and quite opportunistic in its creative approach. So I think, you know, that was the main attraction really, you know, since that, you know, and then we found out after that he's also a nice guy. So
Which does help, which generally helps. Instead of being at flank fish or something.
Not the ads, right?
No, thank you. Being a flying fish is a figure of speech.
Oh, I didn't know it.
No.
So I thought you were making reference again.
Here on G-Man the Ad-Man, we constantly make
things.
G-Man the Ad-Man is slowly becoming the encyclopedia of South African advertising, but not Britannica.
I just tried to Google this production for flying fish, and I can't find it.
Yes,
I cannot find it.
So, you know, for me, the thing I like about Anthony, having just recently met him, is that he doesn't have the restrictions and the walls of what must be done and how it must be done.
Right.
Anthony can be a one-man team.
Dope.
He will not sleep, and he'll give you a product that looks like it was produced by a production company.
Right.
He's never done it by himself. So all we're doing with Anthony is basically just supplying him with the resources and finding him bigger kind of clients and projects that he can work on to start directing on a bigger basis.
Right.
It's content, but it's less content and it's more, you get 4 directors on every job.
Yeah.
If we're around, we will brainstorm together. We'll make sure that it works. So Anthony seemed like the right fit, and he makes us young.
Right.
I think he's the only guy that would be in the AFC Youth League.
Yeah, sometimes, guys, you need someone around you to just, you know, help you with youth.
We're not sure if Munaring's not here because of Anthony or other reasons.
Oh, he was being helped with youth. Shout out Munaring. You will learn, boy. You will learn. Anyway, my friends, it's so crazy. It's so crazy. Like I said, every week it amazes me how quickly these hours fly by because of the hangout. You know, like I love how these turn into these bigger conversations about the game, but most importantly, how it's actually about the people who sit in front of me and how you guys are changing the game as well. So tell me where you guys, 2 final things. Tell me where you guys are based at and where people can find you, right? But before that, I want you guys to tell me, like, if you can sum up, right, in a nutshell, what it is that you think. I mean, before you told me about you want to go to, you want to plan on opening offices pretty much around the world, right? What is the immediate plan? What's the immediate, say, 2-year plan or 1-year plan for the Rude Boy Collective in its place in the game?
A piece of advice we received was stay small, stay humble, produce amazing work, try win some awards, and we'll just keep it to the team that it is now.
That's right.
Produce some good work. Build a nice office. Build a nice culture.
That's right.
Where people can come, develop. And, you know, we don't want to hold on to people like previous shops have.
Yeah.
We want to develop talent and then they can go and go do their own thing.
That's beautiful.
Essentially, for me, that's what we want to do. And then, just start running the African continent.
And also, we're very big on collaborating, you know, with various artists out there who want to work on their own. But, you know, need sometimes to be able to partner up with a team that is there to produce any type of work, visual creative work that they want to do. So we also want to be able to, in that small scale approach, be able to bring in these collaborators, you know, various artists out there and say, hey, we can make things happen. You know, so that's another thing. Partnership with creatives all across the board.
Dope.
Next steps are South Africa office. That's already running. We're based in Bagari, rootboy.co.za. Our website is up there. You can see all the work and let us know what you want to do. In the next year or so, or a few months or so, we're looking at setting up an office in East Africa, mainly Kenya. I think that'll be a good starting point for us to be able to feed out there. Luckily, you know, we've worked there, I've traveled there a bit on work and post traveled there a bit on work. So that's the plan, really.
Cool. Done. That's it. Everyone, we're out of here. We use up all the time today. It's your boy, G-Man the Ad-Man. Good to have you guys in the studio. I can't wait to work with you guys going forward. I think you guys can only release dope things from now on. It's your boy, G-Man the Ad-Man. Take care of each other. Take care of those briefs and take care of yourselves. And like I say every week, if the show is on a Friday, we'd be having a tequila. Boom!
Shots fired.
You have to have more black people in the agents. We tend to apologize for this or be a bit apologetic about how we say it. And it's 22 years down the line. So, fuck that.
G-Man, the ad man.
Fuck that.
Want to hear more? Get the podcast on clipcentral.com.
If you're in a South African advertising agency, your third bottom line has undeniably got to be the development of black talent and the transformation of your agency. Maybe we're spending a little bit too much money on awards and not enough money on transformation.
G-Man, want to hear more? Get the podcast on clipcentral.com.
This is clipcentral.com.